Off that little series we've been doing about the Beatitudes, doing the last group of the Beatitudes. So if you can turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew and chapter 5. Matthew and chapter 5. We'll read again from verses 1 through to verse 11. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through to verse 11. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Amen. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we pray as we come again to your word this morning, Lord, that you will just, Lord, speak into our hearts. Lord, help us to understand as we go through your word. Father, may it challenge us and encourage us. Lord, open our eyes, O God, as we feast upon your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just to briefly recap on what we've done in the last couple of sessions. I know school holidays have started and we're not in school, but I'm going to ask just a couple of questions, okay? Are you, everybody paying attention? Okay, question number one. You may not remember this. Can anyone remember what Beatitudes means, where it comes from? Anybody remember that? Penny? Yes, that's one. Yeah? Jack? Beatitudes. Okay, no. Okay, well, it's actually, you may not remember, but when I spoke on this one, I spoke that the word beatitude comes from the Latin beatus, which means to bless. Greek and Latin have so much influence on our language. And the Roman Catholic Church, that's when they beatify somebody, that they officially bless them. They're blessed because, you know, they've become holy. So that's where that word comes from, beatitudes. Some say it's beautiful attitudes. Some say it's beatitudes. No, beatitudes. Okay, first question. Second question. This is getting technical now. Can anyone remember the Greek word for blessed in the context of the Beatitudes? You didn't expect this morning, did you? It begins with M. Good start, yes. There was a famous Greek bishop years ago, back in the 60s, who had this name. It's on the tip of your tongue, isn't it? Okay. Makarios, Penny. Yes, well done. Well, I'm glad that somebody was listening. Yes, Makarios. And it means that there's a couple of words for blessing, but this one, Makarios, is particularly used in this section because it means great joy, which comes to those who have that saving faith by trusting in Jesus for their salvation. So essentially, the Beatitudes are for those who already are in that position of knowing Jesus and walking with him and trusting in him. So that's who the Beatitudes are directed at, actually. So we're going to look at the one, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, which is Beatitude number 7, I think. And verse 9 of the reading, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. Well, I think society in general and the world at large are crying out for peace, aren't they? You know, we look around us. We don't have to look far. Internationally, we know there's all sorts of chaos going on. And in our own society, there is a need for peace. And sometimes we feel that need in our own families, in our own situations. Ashley was sharing with us this morning how difficult it was at work at the times because it wasn't what she was expecting. And I guess there was a bit of a lack of peace there. And so perhaps Ashley was feeling that in her own situation. And that is true for all of us, isn't it? We get those periods where we go through and we feel we're crying out for peace. And I guess that cry has been true right down through the centuries. Ever since Adam and Eve broke that peace, that walk with God in the Garden of Eden, where they would regularly fellowship with God. And they took of the fruit, which they shouldn't have done, and instantly that link with God was broken, and they lost their peace. And from then on, man has been at war with man and with God. One preacher made the humorous remark that God made creation and rested a little. And then God made man, and God and man rested. And then he made woman. And then God and man haven't had quite the same rest since. So bless the ladies. But that link was broken of peace. There had been perfect peace. And we know that one day that link will be restored. When Jesus comes, there will be that perfect link again, as it was at the beginning. We cannot imagine, as we look out on society, never mind the world, as we look out on our own society, we cannot envisage or comprehend what a peaceful, completely peaceful society looks like. We've never been part of one. Never been part of one. Peace is not just the absence of war or strife or violence. And we've never been in a society or a nation that experienced that. Jesus said, didn't he, just before he was betrayed at the Last Supper, John 16, he said, and he was sharing with the disciples things that were going to happen. He said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, or trials and tribulations, some versions puts it. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we know we're going to have problems. We know we're going to have trouble. And we know that sometimes we will find that peace difficult, peace in the world difficult. But Jesus said, trust in me. Trust in me. And through the trials, through the tribulations, you will find that strength, you will find that hope. But it's difficult sometimes, isn't it, when those things come into our lives. And in the human sense, anything that can be done to end wars, to bring conflicts to a cease. We know that we've had two world wars in the last 100 years, catastrophic. And they were brought to a close. Peace treaties were made. There was a tremendous loss of life, but eventually peace treaties were made. But that didn't put an end to peace, to strife through the world. It still continued. And nations are still involved in turmoil and strife and chaos. But anything that brings that kind of peace, anything that brings that kind of strife to an end is welcome, of course. But peace in the biblical sense of the word is that of a sincere, loving relationship between individuals and families and communities and nations even. And it's that kind of peace that we don't see, that we've never experienced, and we won't experience that until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And this is the peace that we read of in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, we can't, as I said, we can't envisage that kind of peace, what that means, what that brings. All we've ever seen and experienced in society, in the life, is conflicts of various sorts. We have never experienced peace. But Jesus said, if you have my peace, if we have the peace of God, it passes all understanding. And there is that place where, when things are going wrong, when there is trouble, we can still have peace in here. And again, not to trivialize the issues that people go through, because people struggle through some desperate stuff. But we can know that peace of God, the peace of our soul, the quietness of God in our heart and our life, knowing that we are with him and that he is with us. And that kind of peace transcends all understanding. You can't work it out, you can't explain it, but you know it's there. And that's the peace that comes from God. And we can't truly know the peace of God until we have peace with God. We can't truly know that. We can talk about it, but until we find the peace of God, until we make peace with God, then we won't know the peace of God. And I was just thinking this morning of the greatest need. If I went round this morning and said, what's your greatest need? You know, there might be various issues, various needs which you think are the greatest need. And the greatest need, of course, is for people to know Jesus. That's the greatest need. To answer that problem of sin and destruction in their own hearts and in their own lives. That's the greatest need. To get that sorted out. To acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And that's the greatest need. And when people begin to address the greatest need, then that leads them to the greatest peace. The greatest peace they can ever know. And as believers, we know that in Jesus. We can experience that peace, even through the difficult times. And it's interesting that this is the only place in the Bible where the term peacemaker is used. It's not used in any other context in the Bible. But it is in here, in this particular beatitude. And so then, if we, as believers, if we can have this ministry of peace, if this is something that we can take into the world, you know, we had the holiday club recently and various other things we have. We seek to take the peace of God into our community and to reach out into the world. And if we as believers can have this ministry, if we can do this and have this role of being peacemakers, of bringing people to the place of making peace with God, we really can be called the children of God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And if we can be that, if we can be that link in our societies, that person who is reaching out, seeking to reach out to make peace, to bring people into the peace of God, if we can do that and have that ministry, then we really are acting as the children of God. We will be engaged in the work that our Heavenly Father wants us to be engaged in. We will truly be called the children of God because we're doing what he wants us to do, to bring peace in a troubled world. Not political peace or things like that, but the peace of God, the greatest need, the peace of God. And then people can understand and know that peace that we were talking about in Philippians. So that is the role of the peacemaker, isn't it? And if we as believers can have that ministry and can have that role, what a blessing that will be. And sometimes it's easy to talk about Jesus, sometimes it's not. Sometimes God will give us that conversation with somebody. It'll just come out of the blue. You'll have a conversation with somebody, and the conversation will turn, and you'll be able to say something. And in that moment, you think, you know, I feel a bit awkward about talking about Jesus. Have you ever experienced that? You want to say something about Jesus. You want to witness, but you feel a little bit embarrassed. You feel a little bit awkward. What if they reject me? What if they don't understand what I'm saying? What if they think I'm a religious fanatic? All these things go through your head. And yet, in your mind, in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is giving you a nudge saying, you need to say something. You need to say something. You need to speak. And you're thinking, but Lord, you know, I'm not very good at this. I don't know. They might misunderstand me. All of that might be true. But we have a role of peacemaker. So when we have those opportunities, we need to take a deep breath and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. And just begin to speak and see what God will do. Maybe the conversation will take off. Maybe it won't. Maybe you think it's fallen on deaf ears. But at least you started the conversation. And God's Holy Spirit can take it from there. So don't be afraid when those moments come and you have the opportunity to be a peacemaker in terms of talking about the peace of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of God in a situation. Be bold. Just do it and see what God will do. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God, doing what God wants us to do. The next one says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The key word here is righteousness or relationship with God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for having that relationship with God, for being a Christian. Theirs will be the kingdom of God. A believer who gets into trouble at work because perhaps of, I don't know, poor attitude or unreliable behavior or things of that nature, you know, we can't say, oh, I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. And it may be that your approach to the job has not been right, or you're a little bit rude or offensive to people. Maybe you're not aware of that. And, you know, we can't say that people are giving us a hard time because we're Christians, when sometimes our attitude is not right. And we take a wrong attitude into work with us or where we go. So we have to be very careful about that. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, relationship, because you're following Jesus. You can be picked on because you are a Christian. I've had one or two experiences in the past because I was a Christian, and people made fun of me. And it does happen sometimes. It does happen. But Jesus said, blessed are you, persecuted for their faith. And the last beatitude is takes up that one a little bit further on. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's interesting that this particular beatitude breaks down a little bit into a pattern. So we have an opening line, we have two negative statements, and then we have a reference to Jesus. Then we have two positive statements and a closing line. So the opening line is, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. So you've got the opening line, the two negative ones, and then Jesus says, on my account. sort of like a sandwich, and Jesus in the middle of the sandwich, on my account, on my sake. And then we have some positive comments. Rejoice and be glad. 1. For great is your reward in heaven. 2. And the closing line, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets and those who came before you. Ooh. Rejoice and be glad when you get stick for being a Christian. For great is your reward in heaven. That's the positive benefits from being persecuted. You know, we don't really struggle with persecution in this country, but some countries, some parts of the world, these are really tough times for people. We know that in a number of countries, believers are persecuted for their faith, and sometimes it costs them their life. You know, we don't have that. We've not had that sort of persecution in this country for several centuries, not since back in the days of the Reformation. So we've not experienced that. But for some people, this is a reality in today's world. And so whatever persecution we might get here in this country, it pales into insignificance in many respects compared with what some believers are having to go through. But this particular way of teaching was an ancient traditional Jewish method of writing and teaching the scriptures, particularly Old Testament scriptures. It was a traditional way of doing that. And all the previous Beatitudes can be referenced and looked at in regard to the Old Testament as well as the time of Jesus. But interestingly, this Beatitude seems to bring it all together. It all comes together with this last teaching. And Jesus puts himself right in the center of it all. He puts himself in the center of this particular one about being persecuted, as the lines show. So Jesus is right in the middle. He's right in the middle here. And it's all about loyalty to Jesus, isn't it? Serving him, walking with him. The other day we were talking about keeping our hand in the hand of God, walking with God. Don't let go of my hand, God says. Walk with me. And we're staying loyal to Jesus. We're walking with him. We're trusting in him day by day. And Jesus is the very word of life. He's the Logos, isn't he? John, the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word. And this Word is all about the living Word. Jesus is right there in the center of it. And in the first letter of John, chapter 1, the same word is used, that Jesus is the Word of life. And so the Beatitudes are really all about Jesus and knowing him. And hence the word we spoke about at the beginning, Makarios. Because until you know him and have that Makarios experience, if you like, you cannot enter into that kind of life with him. And so we have to know him. And so these Beatitudes are for those who are already on that pathway, trusting him, walking with him, seeking to listen to him and follow him, and walking in that way of life, walking with the life, the word of life. And so I hope as we've gone through this, it's sort of helped you to open your eyes a bit to understand what these Beatitudes mean and how they can affect us and how they speak to us in our life day by day. That God will enrich us as we take on board the things that we read in his word. Let me just pray as we close this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to put you in the center of our lives. Oh, God, we want you to be right in the middle. Oh, Lord, sometimes forgive us. We, Lord, other things come in, Lord, and seek to take your place. But Father, we want you to be, Lord Jesus, we want you to be right there, Lord, in the center of our lives. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to keep hold of your hand, Lord, because, Lord, outside of that, there is danger, there is uncertainty. And Lord, we want to be with you. We want to walk with you and just keep hold of you day by day. Lord, help us as we read your word, Lord, to absorb it, Father, that it will do us good in our hearts. Father, it will strengthen us, that it will guide us, O God, in every aspect of our life. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.